Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. You are what you eat. We've heard that saying all of our lives, but what are you eating? And even if you try to eat healthy, is your body missing out? Well, tonight we're highlighting National Nutrition Month. My guests are Dr. Catherine Manuel, Dietetics Program Director, and she's with the Department of Nutritional Sciences at Howard University. Also, Jillian Griffith is the in-store nutritionist and registered dietitian for Giant Foods. If you have a comment or a question about nutrition and the food that you eat, or what you should be eating, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Ladies, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Now, according to a health.gov's 2015-2020 dietary guidelines recommendations, half of all Americans, 117 million people, have one or more preventable chronic diseases related to poor nutrition and lack of physical activity. You know the list. Cardiovascular disease, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, even poor bone health and some cancers. That is a lot. And certainly some of that related to physical activity, but also a lot of it has to do with what you're eating or not eating. Dr. Manuel, what is in our food?
Thank you, Harold, and I could not have said it better myself. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
You are actually what you eat, and that statistic that you just gave there is, you know, it baffles me every day. That's the bad news. However, the good news is that, as you also mentioned, these things are preventable. If you mentioned that it was due to poor diet and lack of adequate physical activity. And so, even though it might seem difficult, there are several many baby steps that one can take to make sure that they are eating properly and that they are having adequate physical activity.
Give me a few of those baby steps.
So one thing, you mentioned the dietary guidelines, one thing is to have a balanced diet. That's really where it starts. And what do I mean by a balanced diet? If you were to look at your plate and you were to think about the rainbow and you looked at the colors of the rainbow and you looked at your plate should really represent the colors of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you want to make sure that you have a little bit going on from all of the different food groups. And what do I mean by food groups? So you want some of your grains. You want some fruits and vegetables, actually half of your plate if you can make it, fruits and vegetables. And like I tell my brother back home, if you just started there, half of your plate, fruits and vegetables, the rest sort of falls into line. And if you don't take away anything else from a message this evening, it would be make half of your plates fruits and vegetables, mm-hmm. and then the rest will fall in line. Because if your plate is half filled with fruits and vegetables, then you don't have a lot of room for the meat, which is probably high in fat, high in saturated fat. You don't have a lot of room for the carbohydrates, which is not a bad thing, but too much of it can lead to some of these problems.
Easier said than done for a lot of people, Jillian, because when you go to a grocery store, if you do have access to those fresh fruits and vegetables, that stuff isn't cheap, and I notice when I'm grocery shopping, I do it, and a lot of people are examining what is on the labels these days. What are they looking for?
So first, how you said produce or fresh fruits and vegetables aren't cheap. So when you're going to the grocery store, a lot of times you should have a plan before you even go in. But fresh, frozen, canned, they all are good for us. We can do buying things in season for fresh, that can help reduce the cost. Making sure we have frozen vegetables in our freezer ready and available. And then even canned, not steering away from canned foods, making sure that they're low in sodium, but also and then rinsing those off. So we want to make sure, like Dr. Manuel said, half of our plate is fruits and vegetables. So no matter where you're getting it from, whether it's the fresh produce aisle, the frozen, or the canned aisle, those are all things that we should utilize.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about nutritious eating and how do you get more nutrition in your day-to-day diet. The thing that I really wanted to ask, though, Jillian, is when somebody is looking at the cans, what are they looking for?
So you should be looking, if you're looking at the cans, you should be looking at that sodium content, making sure that you're picking the lowest sodium option on the front of the can, making sure it either says no sodium or no salt added, low sodium, and then turning around the can and comparing products and making sure you're picking the one that has the least amount of sodium.
But why is there so much sodium in products? I was in a grocery store yesterday looking at chicken broth, and there was the low sodium brand that was 70 milligrams. The regular sodium was 890 milligrams of salt. I got high blood pressure just standing there. Why is there so much salt in food?
So salt is needed to help with shelf life. So when you're looking at like your canned foods, for them to have that long shelf life, the salt helps with that. And then it also adds the flavor. So those are the two biggest reasons there's so much salt in our food. It has to do with the process of making the food.
Mm-hmm. And you'll also see that sometimes because really what you're getting at is the sodium. And so while salt contains sodium, there are also other sources of sodium as well in those products.
Such as?
Those come in the form of the preservatives. So your sodium benzoate and, you know, those other names that you can't typically pronounce that start with sodium, your MSG and monosodium glutamate and so on. Those are also additional sources of sodium that are used as preservatives.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about not just healthy eating, but nutritious eating. How do you know what's in the food that you're eating? Let's talk to Ms. Jones, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Just fine. Go right ahead.
Good. About 4 years ago, after a life of eating meat, I decided to become vegetarian. And I just stopped cold turkey eating, pork, red meat, all of that stuff. And I find that I feel so much better. And not only that, but I started losing a lot of weight, and I have a lot more energy. So the vegetarian lifestyle is a positive thing in my life. Hmm. And I find that I do eat more fruits and vegetables as a choice, and I feel better.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. When you're talking about nutrition and those who have adopted a plant-based lifestyle, what kind of specifics are we talking about for nutrition?
Right. And so, you know, as you would recall, when I started off speaking a while ago, I said to make half of your, or I suggested that you make half of your plate fruits and vegetables. And I think that's probably, you know, where this caller might have started. Or actually, no, she said she did it cold turkey. But typically, that's where people start in terms of that half fruits and vegetables. And then they gradually realize that, I'm not missing the meat after all. And so you said plant-based diet. I'll take it a step further and say whole plant-based food, because there's a difference.
What's the difference?
So, for example, you can have a diet that's plant-based, and it can consist of, you know, fries and, you know, fried vegetables and, you know, processed foods that come from plants.
Cheetos.
But they're not correct. So they're not
Doritos.
Whole. Correct.
Yeah.
So going back to my fruits and vegetables, that's where your whole comes in, and your whole grains that are not processed, you know, to take away the nutrients.
Interesting. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Beverly calling from DC. Thanks for calling, Beverly. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to ask your guest when it comes to using turkey products. I like regular bacon, and when I look at turkey bacon and I look at the amount of sodium in it, it seems like it's really high in sodium. Is turkey bacon a better substitute for pork bacon, or does it really matter if you're not eating that much bacon?
That is a really good question.
So pork, bacon, or red meat in general is connected with a lot of chronic diseases, especially cancer, colon cancer specifically. But there's several cancers that red meat is connected with. Turkey bacon, is a better choice over red meat. However, it will have a lot of the same amount of sodium and even saturated fat. So you still want to be mindful of that when you're consuming your turkey meat.
So it's turkey bacon, pork bacon, beef bacon.
It's all processed. Yeah, it's all processed.
Yeah.
Yep. And again, it goes back
pretty
to reading that
stay
label.
Stay away from all of it.
Say again?
I said, so pretty much try to stay away from all of it. I don't eat it often, but if I want bacon, I kind of want real bacon.
Yeah, and if you want real bacon, there's a place on your plate for everything. It's just thinking about moderation and how much and how often you're eating it.
Absolutely.
You want to say something?
Absolutely. No, I agree with that completely.
Okay. Beverly, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about healthy and nutritious eating, making the best selections for your health. Before we go back to the phone lines, both of you have some things that you want to briefly announce. And so, Jillian, I'll let you start first. There's some things that Giant is doing.
Yeah, so I don't know how many of the listeners know that Giant Food actually has nutritionists and dietitians on staff. So there's 12 of us. We're sprinkled all across the DMV area. To learn more about our classes, so we have classes in the stores, in the community. We also have a podcast we've started over the past couple months. We have an active blog. So just be sure to check out giantfood.com/nutrition to learn more about our classes, to listen to our podcast. It's called... I'm sorry. I'm blanking on the name of the podcast.
I'm sure we will be able to find it online. Though,
yes,
certainly.
Exactly. So check out giantfood.com/nutrition.
No, there you go. You were going to say something also, Dr. Manuel.
And yes, thank you. We are not sprinkled as, you know, the giant dietitians are, but we are few and far between at the Department of Nutritional Sciences. But we do have something special planned to honor National Nutrition Month. So if you happen to be on campus in the area of Howard University campus on Monday the 25th at around 10 a.m., come and experience what we call a flash mob dance and healthful snacks event. But the thing is that you have to be there to see it. It's there and then it's gone, flash mob style.
And when is this?
And this is Monday the 25th at 10 a.m. That's okay. When the action begins on the main yard.
And Nutrition Made Easy. I apologize for having that blank, but Nutrition Made Easy, you can find that in your podcast app on your iPhone and Google Play, but also on our Giant Food website.
There you go. Go ahead.
And just one more, if you happen to, those of you who have appointments at Howard University Hospital, we have not forgotten about you. We also have an event on Thursday, this coming Thursday, 21st of March, at between 11 and 1 p.m. in the Howard University Hospital cafeteria.
And that event is?
That's another National Nutrition Month event where we have tastings, food demonstration, nutrition information. So stop by if you happen to be in that area.
You can always go by and get yourself a plate.
Absolutely.
And get something healthy. There
Absolutely.
You go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lisa, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Good afternoon. I was just calling because I heard that Julian mentioned canned foods was a good alternative as well as frozen. I was wondering, should we worry about the sugar content as well as the sodium?
Yeah, that's a great question, and thank you for bringing that up. So, yes, definitely be worried about the sugar content, especially in your canned fruit. So you want to make sure if you are buying canned fruit that it's packaged and it's 100% fruit juice, so its own juice. So it's not light syrup or heavy syrup. That's where you're going to get that added sugar. So that's definitely something to be mindful of.
Interesting. Lisa, thank you so much. Here's a question. Is there a hierarchy when it comes to fresh, frozen, and canned? If, let's say, string beans, if I have a choice and the price is not an issue, which is the healthiest? I know fresh is obviously, but frozen or canned, of those two, which would be the healthiest?
Well, I think you just got your A+ on the intro to nutrition question there.
Oh, okay,
so
good.
it would be the fresh, of course, as you mentioned, and followed by the frozen, and then the canned. But You know, it really depends on your situation. If you don't have access to, say, for example, you know, store those frozen vegetables in a freezer, then, of course, canned becomes your number one.
But why is frozen better than canned?
Right. Good question. So the remember we just had that conversation about the sodium.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the frozen, you tend to get away, if it's just the vegetables, we're not talking about the cream, the broccoli, and all those fancy things. If it's just the frozen broccoli florets and the frozen, you know, spinach and so on, then you will not have that sodium content that you would with the canned.
Something
products.
To think about. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Danielle calling from Maryland, also Angela calling from D.C. So please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm with Jeff Brown is next on WHUR, but we will continue talking on Sirius XM Channel 141. Lines are still open. We are taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. We are highlighting National Nutrition Month. My guests are Dr. Catherine Manuel, Dietetics Program Director with the Department of Nutritional Sciences here at Howard University, and Jillian Griffith, in-store nutritionist and registered dietitian for Giant Foods. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Danielle calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Danielle, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. Let's go to Angela. Angela calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Angela. What's on your mind?
Hello, Harold and your guest.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I was a caregiver to my late mother. She died in November. And, you know, genetically, I really take after my father, not my mother. She was a very small, petite woman, could eat grits and breads and all kinds of carbs and stuff. So because I have such a high demanding job and go to school and blah, 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 I would just eat what she would eat because it was just be easy to fix it for the two of us. But once she died, I kind of went back to an older diet. Basically, I kind of fell into keto. Now, again, she died in November, like 2 days after Thanksgiving. I have lost 35 pounds.
Okay.
By doing keto. Just like, boom. Just like, I wasn't trying to lose weight, but I just wanted to feel better. And so I just really think there's something with brown people, black people in particular, and the whole insulin and insulin resistance, you know, just sugar. Cause sugar is in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And all the things that we really like have sugar in them. But I noticed once I really eliminated sugar, you know, the whole ketosis and that kind of thing sort of kicked in. Now, I don't eat, you know, burgers and bacon and all that kind of thing. I'm really smart about it. I eat meat substitute products. I do healthy fats and the like. And I eat lots of vegetables. I drink plenty of water so I don't get any kidney stones.
Well, Angela, let me stop you there because I want my guests to react to what you've shared, particularly as it relates to, you know, the keto diet, because there's a lot of discussion about that. Can you give me a brief keto 101 so that people who aren't familiar understand what she's talking about?
Absolutely. So essentially, the keto, what we know as the quote-unquote keto diet now, is an offspring of the original ketogenic diet, which was medically developed for a very specialized population in that it was developed to help children who had epilepsy. And so it's a very medically supervised diet. It's made up of, you know, ratios of carbohydrate to fat to protein. And so it's not something that the average person wants to take on because, as I said, it was, you know, it's meant to be medically supervised. Now, what we're seeing, we've gone through our transition in terms of fad diets, and we were all familiar with the Atkins diet. Essentially, my take on it is that the keto diet is just Atkins reinvented. There have been some creative spins that have been put to it. And so the one thing that you want to take away, I'm not going to endorse any particular diet, but any diet that, or any diet fad that recommends that you eliminate a particular food group, that is a huge red flag. And so to the extent that you are eliminating a food group, and keep in mind that sugar is not a food group. So
By
all means, eliminate sugar.
You mean gummy bears are not a food group?
Absolutely. So the message that we want to give you is that you try not to eliminate any particular food group, because once you start eliminating a particular food group, you're not just eliminating that group, you're eliminating all the essential nutrients that come with that group, and your body is eventually going to start to suffer. Yes, weight loss is going to be common with any diet that eliminates a food group, because you're essentially eliminating a whole chunk of your intake. And so congrats on the weight loss, but now that you've lost the weight, what I would really suggest is that you reevaluate your diet and now go to something that's a healthful, more balanced diet that takes into consideration all the food groups and all of the nutrients that your body will get from those food groups.
Which brings me to Jillian, because you were nodding your head. Is the keto diet, for example, is it nutritious? Because that's what we're talking about tonight, getting nutrition through whatever it is that you're eating. And one would argue that not everything that you eat that tastes good is good for you.
So it's nutritious to an extent. But it can't be too nutritious if we're missing an entire food group. So, like she said, we need nutrients from the different food groups. So we need our fruits and vegetables, but we need the protein. But we also need those grains, and we need our dairy. So when you're cutting out a whole chunk of the My Plate, or we're missing those necessary nutrients.
Okay. Angela, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Pamela, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling, Pamela. What's on your mind?
Hi, how you doing?
Just fine.
Welcome, panel. My background is military, and I was an athlete. I want to tell people that amino acids are very important. You get some of it from your diet, or your food, and then you can take amino acids. But also, I want people to understand our body produces glucose. So that means if you're taking in starchy foods, which the panel knows, it can be converted over to sugar. Once it's converted into sugar, it's fat. That means if your body doesn't burn it, it's going to be stored as sugar and then convert to fat. A lot of people don't understand that lactose, fructose, glucose, and sucrose, which is your milk, your sugar, your candy bars, all that is sugar, but it's also starch. So starch turns to sugar. People know that when you see a white potato that sits on the table. So if you educate yourself as an educated consumer on what you're putting in your body, like the panel said, it's going to help you in the long run.
Dr. Emanuel, you were shaking your head about something that the caller said in reference to amino acid.
Well, again, it goes back to when we start to isolate a particular nutrient, and here we're talking about amino acids, you know.
And for those who are not familiar, what is an amino acid?
Right.
What is its purpose? Where does
it
come from?
So an amino acid is you can look at it as the building block of your proteins. So your proteins that you see as meat or as fish, they are made up of building blocks. And these small building blocks are called amino acids. And there are many of them, but the ones that are important to us are about 20 of them. And however, only 9 of them are essential. And those are the ones that must be consumed through food. Your body will not make them. And so within those 20, we need them in a very delicate balance. And so when we start to isolate and take amino acids on their own, we have to be very careful that we're not disrupting that delicate balance that we need. Because really, when you buy amino acids, you really don't know what you're getting in terms of an isolated supplement. So you just have to be very cautious when you do things like that.
Okay. Pamela, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to drill down a little bit more on on nutrition, because you know, sometimes you know if you can be out on the weekends and you can see everyone you know, going down to whether it's the DC's harbor or Baltimore's harbor, and they are eating well, but are they eating well? I think that I really want to talk more about the whole nutrition piece. What do I need to be getting from the food that I'm eating? I mean, beyond just the four food groups and the rainbows and the color and all of that. Give me some names of some unpronounceables that I need to be you know getting in. Was it riboflavin, niacin, anacin? Oh, that's a pill. what am I looking for here?
So essentially, Harold, and the good thing about nutrition is that the names are pronounceable, and that's what distinguishes them from those chemicals on those cans and those products. And so, at the risk of this sounding like an intro to nutrition class, you have your nutrients, and what you're talking about is your nutrients. And we can break down those nutrients in various ways, but I like to look at them simply, you know, macronutrients and micronutrients. And when we say macronutrients, we're talking about your protein, your carbohydrates, and your fats. And those are the nutrients that, you know, we need to be able to move. They give us energy. They repair our tissues. If we get a cut, the proteins are what helps to heal. And so those are really what our bodies are made up of. But guess what? In order for those to function properly within our bodies, we now need the micronutrients, and that's what you so astutely referred to as your riboflavin and your niacin. So it's not anacin, it's niacin. So close enough, right? Also your B vitamins. Those are your B vitamins. And then you have your vitamin C, you have your fat-soluble vitamins, your vitamin A, D, E, and K. And essentially that's what it boils down to. And as Jillian said earlier, to the extent that you leave out a food group, it means that you are messing with that balance of nutrients that our body needs to be able to function every single day.
But can you be a vegetarian and not run the risk of eliminating those food groups?
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can be a vegetarian and get all the protein, because I think that's one of the biggest concerns with vegetarian or veganism, is not getting enough protein in your diet. But you can be a vegetarian and get all of those necessary nutrients in. Fruits, vegetables, grains, those all have protein, different sorts of protein, plant-based proteins. So incorporating all of those into your diet, making sure you're having a balanced plate, is a way for you to make sure that you're getting everything that you need.
Mm-hmm. So if I could just mention one thing there. And so you will notice that those of you who are familiar with My Plate, they've moved away from putting a food group as meat or animal. It used to, back in the day, right, before Jillian was born, it was called animal food, right, or animal-based foods. Now that chunk in that plate says protein.
Right.
And so that gives you the flexibility. If you want to have meat or chicken or fish, you can, but then your protein can also come from plants.
So your legumes,
absolutely,
your beans, so lots of plant-based proteins out there. And now there's so many products on the shelves in the store that are plant-based alternatives for your meat.
Absolutely.
So just exploring those options and making sure that you're getting diversity on your plate.
What do you tell people who say that what they're hearing tonight and from the likes of a Dr. Manuel or Jillian Griffith I know this, but this is no fun. How do you bring those horses to the water and make them drink, or should I say make them eat, you know, more healthily?
Make it fun. So explore some recipes that may be of interest, may pique your interest. Involve your family. So if you have kids, have them get involved in helping to plan out the meals and making sure that you're getting balanced meals onto the table. Make it fun. It can be fun. Sneak in vegetables. So now there's tons of like the spiralized noodles and vegetables in different shapes and sizes that you can incorporate into your meals that historically haven't had vegetables in them. So like your pastas and things like that. So make it fun, make it creative.
And when I speak about fun, I'm talking about, and I kind of joked about this earlier, but for those people who do like Cheetos and Doritos and all of those kinds of things. Can they have some of that? I mean, because we just go back to that salt conversation. I'm just amazed at just how much salt is in snacks. And people love snacks. And for Giant and other our grocery retailers, there are it's not one aisle, there's sometimes mm-hmm. two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think with knowledge comes power. So once you're kind of aware and you have that nutrition education and you're more understanding of what's in your food, then you treat those things like a treat. So like I mm-hmm. said before, everything can have a place in our diet. Everything mm-hmm. can have a place on our plate. But it's really about the amount that we're consuming and how often. So treating those treats like a treat.
I need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about organic foods. And is there a difference? Are they more nutritious? Are they healthier? Or are they just prettier and more expensive? We'll talk about that. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. You are in Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're continuing our conversation about National Nutrition Month, making sure that the food that tastes good is good for you. I want to ask both of you about organic food. I still have a lot of questions about it. And actually, I really don't, because I don't buy it. And because to me, as I said before the break, I think it's expensive. It's pretty. A lot of those fresh vegetables are pretty. But if the organic strawberries are $4 for a pint and the regular strawberries are $2 a pint, what am I getting if I spend the extra $2 that I'm not getting by saving two?
So let's just kind of back up and explain what organic is, especially for some listeners who may not know. You know, we see this buzzword organic everywhere now. So organic food is the product of a farming system, which avoids the use of man-made fertilizers, pesticides, growth regulators, and livestock feed additives. So it's regulated by the USDA. So when we have our organic produce, it's really a personal preference, you know, being mindful of how they're growing your produce, how they're growing their food, how they're maybe treating the animals. A lot of it is environmental. It's a personal preference. We want to prioritize people getting produce on their plate.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, if it's between a $4 strawberry and a strawberry is for $2, if it's in your budget to buy your $4 strawberries, go ahead. But we want to make sure that you are getting an assortment of fruits and vegetables on your plate, whether it be organic or regular.
But I, to put a fine point on it, based on the definition that you just shared, if the $2 strawberries have all of this stuff in it, is that stuff going to make me sick today or 10 years from now?
Right. And, you know, that's something that I have also grappled with. I'm from the Caribbean and we, you know, pretty much everything we eat is quote unquote organic. So my brother has a farm. So, you know, it's all a matter of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we know that the apples are nicely waxed and, you know, most of the fruits are and they have all these additives to them. But what we can do, one very simple thing that we can do is to give those things a proper washing when we get home. And that sort of takes off that physical, you know, quote-unquote protective agent agent that they put to enhance, you know, the aesthetics of the fruit. And so in doing that, you are washing off the chemicals and whatever they added, but you're still getting the benefits of the nutrients that fruit contains or that vegetable contains, because that is ultimately what we're after. Now, to the extent that you're not doing that and you're not taking those precautions and, you know, you're one of those gentlemen, Harold, that will go to the store and eat the grape fresh out of the bag to taste
Highly unlikely.
Right. So in that case, you're making yourself more susceptible to any sort of dangers that can come as a result of those chemicals that they've added to those fruits.
So these things are on the outside and not necessarily on the inside?
Well, that is the major concern. You know, what gets on, because, you know, we're talking about the spraying and those kinds of things that go on. And so those things would be deposited on the skins. Now, in terms of, you know, we there is some evidence showing that long term, you know, there might that stuff is eventually going to get into your bodies, but the amount that's actually getting into your bodies, so far, we're not seeing the evidence that it's you know, equating to the cancer and to the cardiovascular disease and to the obesity that you will get if you don't have fruits and vegetables.
Right.
And so it's a cost-benefit mm-hmm. analysis that we're looking at here. We're not saying that it's absolutely safe and no danger at all, but in the bigger picture, cost-benefit analysis, it's not as bad as you probably think.
And certainly not applicable to things like bananas, because you're not going to eat the skin,
correct,
or maybe oranges or lime, unless, now that I think about it, for those who cook, zest.
Right.
If you're zesting oranges, lemons, yeah, or limes, you know.
And again, give them a good washing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, what about meats? You hear a lot about grass-fed, for example. And you mentioned earlier, Jillian, about how the animals, for example, are, you know, are treated prior to going to slaughter, which I always find that really, treat the animals good before you kill them. But but does it matter, grass fed, free range, when the chickens are allowed to, I guess, run around? Or talk to me a little bit about the difference.
Yeah. So. Grass-fed, free-range, it's really,
Let's start with the grass-fed, yeah, first, for example.
So that's talking about how the animals are fed. So whether the
cows?
Plant-based.
It's plant-based feeding. So if your animals are eating plants, rather than other animal remains or anything like that. So that's what the grass-fed has to do.
Just for example, now I see why you were thinking about the free-range, because those animals that, for example, beef, cows, mm-hmm, and the like, they eat grass, mm-hmm, naturally.
Correct.
But if
it's their feed. It's
right.
Their feed is what they're being fed.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. But now, free-range chickens, why? What is that? Why does that make a difference when they're running around, or as opposed to being in pens?
Right. So again, you know, there are several schools of thought when it comes to that. And I think most of it, the issue that we have has to do with the whole hygiene of the conditions under which these animals live, and to the extent that they are cramped and, you know, exposed to each other's, you know, feces and not getting adequate space to run around and exercise, and all of those have to do with the quality of the meat. You know, so we're all animals. Humans just happen to be on a higher level. And if you think about the things that are necessary for you to be healthy on the inside, it's similar to what an animal requires for to be healthy as well. And think about it. You're actually eating the product of that, you know, those conditions. And so that's really where it what it boils down to. Not necessarily the protein content, possibly the fat content, because they're not moving around, mm-hmm, but and the actual quality of the meat.
Real quick, should we be concerned about hormones being used on the food that we buy, and what impact nutritionally or health wise might that impact us?
It can impact you. The hormones that are put into our meat, when we're consuming that, we are what we eat, so we're consuming that as well. So that is something to be mindful, looking at the label, seeing if it's hormone-free or what kind of hormones are being added to your meat. That's something that you have the power to decide if that's what you want to consume.
Mm-hmm. I'll let you have a final word, Dr. Manuel.
anything? I'd be careful. I'm a dietitian.
You have 1 minute.
Okay, so in one minute, you know, whereas my first love is obviously, you know, the power of food, my second love happens to be the power of exercise. And really, you can't have one without the other. You remember that old song, Harold? You can't have one without the other. Love and marriage, that kind of thing, right? So it's similar. And so if I were to ask you, is there a pill that could help you control your weight, reduce your risk of heart disease, help you manage your blood sugar?
Red pill, blue pill.
Help you quit smoking, improve your mental health, help you with your thinking, strengthen your bones and muscles, reduce your risk of some cancers, blah, 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 blah. Would you know what pill I'm talking about?
No, I would.
It's actually called exercise.
Oh, there you go.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so the new physical activity guidelines that just came out in 2018, there's actually a lot of good news saying that really you don't have to do this massive amount of exercise for it to benefit. Just move. Just get up while you're here interviewing us. Do some squats, you know. Just move.
And take that pill with plenty of water.
Absolutely. Just move.
I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking to me, Dr. Catherine Manuel and Jillian Griffith. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And the information that we were sharing earlier, websites and all, will be posted on our website on WHUR.com.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. It has, and a lot of fun and quite informational again, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, March 18th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.